Good evening, everybody. You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and we always talk on this show, we always talk to wonderful people who are making a difference with the collective around the planet. And today we have Dr. Meg Blackburn, and she's talking with you about the new children, evolution. We might even talk about a lot of other things like UFOs and orbs, but we may not have time. So welcome to the show, Meg.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be wonderful.
Me too.
So now your latest book is all about, I was reading it, it's just wonderful. It was all about, it's called Conversations with Children of Now.
Right. It's a follow-up to The Children of Now, which I released last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in this current book, I actually interviewed a lot of the kids that were in the first book. And then a lot of new ones that have discovered me, I should say, since the last book came out, and they were amazing.
Mm-hmm. It seems like how many of these kids are there? Like, what would you say this wave of this consciousness coming into these young beings is?
You know, I don't have any basis to really give you an honest answer to that. My gut feeling is at least 20% of the kids that are coming in.
Wow.
But I can't prove that.
Wow, wouldn't that be great? I mean, that's a real wave, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And no less than 10%, but I'd say closer to 20.
Well, tell me about them. Is it different DNA? Is it, how can we recognize them? How can we help them grow up to be in truth with who they are? Because I'm sure they get
a lot of questions. Okay, first of all, what's going on is what I've termed a fast-forward evolution in humanity.
Mm.
I mean, really what's happening is a leap in consciousness. And a lot of us adults, you know, have been bridges to this new generation. A lot of us who have done the work, so to speak, who are out there and really stepping into our gifts and using them is creating a pathway for this new generation. And whenever that happens evolutionally, what happens is that the bodies start to respond different, the consciousness responds differently, and what we're literally seeing is a change in how the DNA is communicating and how the electromagnetic relationships within the brain are changing in a way that the DNA and the brain are starting to work together from a consciousness perspective. And so what we're getting instead of mental thinking kids, what we're getting is sentient beings. You know, they're totally aware of their surroundings, what people feel, what they really mean. It's just mind-boggling when you start working with them.
Hmm. What is their demand? Like, if my understanding is, for example, indigo kids were frustrated by the amount or have been frustrated by the amount of the discordance. What we say isn't what we mean.
Exactly. Well, these kids, it depends on which group it is. There are several different kind of subgroups of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I want to make it clear that I am not in the least bit interested in labeling these kids. But I have to find some language to make the phenomenon understood.
Mm-hmm.
So as I talk about this over the course of the show, please understand that I don't want people to go put labels on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
What I want people to do is understand the differences, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what these kids really want basically is the truth.
Okay.
And they're here to remind us who we are and what we're capable of because we've really forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
We've become desensitized. We've forgotten how to be in our hearts. They're all heart. These children are all heart.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to have integrity, and they want us to remember, you know, our giftedness because we all have it.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the kids have even called me on stuff. You know, I get distracted and give them a kind of an adult answer in the middle of a conversation when I get disrupted and. And I've actually had them call me on it and say, that's not what you really meant. You know, I saw it go through your eyes. And they're actually in tune with what, you know, with what we mean. And so they're calling us on our stuff, and they're making us really look at how we're communicating and how we're living. Mm. I mean, they're very, very earth-oriented, They're natural healers. They're, like I said, they're so sensitive to their environment, to other people, to what's going on. And, you know, the really sad thing is that a lot of these kids are getting diagnosed with ADD, ADHD. I don't even like those terms. And some of them even with autism. There's an epidemic of diagnosis in autism. Notice I didn't say an epidemic in autism.
Mm-hmm. You said the diagnosis.
and ADD and ADHD as well, as far as I'm concerned. And a lot of these kids are getting drugged. And, I mean, I've literally had entire families of, you know, 2-3 kids that have been medicated and diagnosed with these things. And I always get to see the ones that nobody else can fix.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good thing, isn't it?
Thank God. Thank God. But the thing is that it's the drugs and the treatments that are screwing these kids up so bad. When we get them off the drugs and they start to be able to function in an environment that's accepting and with them, of them, and willing to let them be who they are, they not only thrive, I mean, they're amazing.
Hmm. Well, the thing is about letting, I mean, most of us in our society have not been brought up to help people be who they really are.
True.
And I, you know, for years people have said to me, and I haven't worked with that many kids like this, but people have said, how do we recognize these kids when they're little, and how do we bring them up to be who they are? It's really hard in this society, which is not, you know,
it is, because it's true, because the school systems are, you know, the curriculums are basically 100 years old.
Right.
The way that the schools are structured is so archaic. It doesn't allow for children who even, I mean, just everybody's kids are not, they're not able to thrive in these school environments because they're not geared towards the kind of lives these kids, you know, that these kids have. And
but if they don't have ADD and they don't have ADHD, I mean, those are just diagnoses.
Right.
But these kids' brains don't work like those schools have prescribed that we needed our brains to work, right?
Exactly.
So it's really complicated.
Yeah, they're holographic thinkers. And by that I mean the way that they think, look, if you could draw a picture of it, it would look like a great big honeycomb.
Hmm.
And what they do is, while they seem to be hyperactive, what they're doing is literally absorbing data.
Hmm.
And here's what's going on. Nobody ever says to this child at the end of the day, so what did you see and what did you hear and what did you learn? What they say is, you didn't sit still and you didn't follow the rules that we have, and therefore you're not normal.
Hmm.
And so what's going on is most of these kids are not missing one thing. And yet they can file away little tiny pieces of or parts of information, and then when they need a whole picture, they're able to draw on, you know, the things they filed away. And so they reach into those little parts of the honeycomb and pull out the data and are able to create entire, you know, knowledge or conversation or facts or whatever they need.
Do they tend to be very productive?
Oh my gosh. You want to get something done, put a few crystalline children in charge.
Now they're the ones that are really very, very loving, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, they're just so loving.
And they work in, I heard that they are better working in groups of them.
They do really well. I'll give you a small example just from my own home experience. A couple of my grandchildren are crystalline kids, and several months back, I was getting ready, before the fall, I was getting ready to do a bunch of shows, one right after the other, different keynote speeches and that kind of thing. And I usually take my CDs and my books, you know how we all do. And, well, I was low on CD inventory, and I literally manufacture them myself. And so I didn't have enough time because I had to do some other things, you know, involved with my work. And so my granddaughter was 7 at the time, and I put her in charge of the whole crew, and she was the oldest. And there were, I think, 4 of them working. They were literally burning, printing, packaging CDs all at the same time without stopping. The youngest one was 3.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing was defective. It was like I stood back in awe. And I mean, I didn't make them do it. I said, "Hey, you wanna?" You know, and the crystalline kids—they're just mind-boggling.
Are they?
They are very organized. They're very commanding, but they're very, very, very sensitive too.
How do we recognize them?
I was just going to say, you asked me that, and I keep getting off on. There's so much to say. A crystalline child, typically as a little baby, their sleep patterns are odd. They don't sleep not like babies waking up all the time like they do, but they don't sleep for very long at a time, and they don't typically eat the every 2 or 4 hours or whatever newborns do. They develop a pattern of their own, and no matter whether they're nursing or on a bottle or what, you can literally see them when they're infants try to lift out of their bodies. They're not comfortable in their new humanness. And you'll see them, you'll look in their eyes, and it's like they're as old as God.
Mm.
And no, they don't all have crystal blue eyes. That is an urban legend. It's cross-cultural. It's global. I've met them all over the world. In fact, I just returned from Mexico a few days ago, and I know several teachers down there, and they were telling me about how gifted some of these little guys are. And they all have very brown eyes. And so you can't really just say by how they look.
So does that mean they're a little bit hyperactive or?
Not necessarily, although they tend to appear to be not very focused. In other words, they'll start something and go on to something else and go on to something else, which is where the ADD diagnosis comes from. But truthfully, if you let them be and you give them some sort of a loose structure to work with, they'll get it all done by the end of the day and done well.
Hmm.
But what happens is they get interrupted. People don't give them any structure, and they're not guided into, okay, you can start, but you got to finish, you know. And so what happens is they leave a stream of mess behind them, you know. But I find that if you give them some sort of a framework, you know, just a framework to kind of, they have to have rules. They need... One of them, Nicholas, who wrote the foreword for The Children of Now, put it beautifully, and I'll paraphrase him, something to the effect of, I've walked with Jesus, and I remember Atlantis, I've been to Atlantis, but I'm still a little boy, and I need to know how to live in your world, in this world.
Hmm.
So I thought that was so beautifully said, because people tend to put them on pedestals because, you know, they can talk about where they came from. If you've got a crystalline child or even a star kid, they're going to talk about what they remember of their past lives, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk about what it was like to be with God or when they picked their parents. In fact, crystalline children will often come to their parents before they're born or even conceived and start giving them messages.
Hmm.
They often are natural little healers. They'll put their hands on people when they don't feel good or they get hurt. They'll automatically go over and start touching them. They have a real interesting command of energy, and it's very subtle energy. It's very sweet. Like I said, they know what you mean, and they know what people intend. They are very sensitive to the environment. In other words, if things aren't going well, a crystalline child will often have a meltdown. And I don't mean by when I say not going well. I mean if there's a lot of stress in the house or if there are kids in the school room or the teacher and there's a lot of tension and nobody's resolving it, crystalline kids will often come down with problems physically that no one can find a reason for or a diagnosis for.
Mm-hmm.
They get weird. I call them cosmically ill.
Mm.
I've seen it time after time.
Mm.
So those are just a few ways to recognize them.
Do they cry a lot as babies, or is there any kind
Not usually. They're usually really good babies, but don't hold me to that. I mean, kids are kids, but crystalline children are generally very sweet babies. Look around a lot. Like right when they're born, they start looking around the room, and some of them will even look people in the eye, and babies don't do that.
I saw one of them do that, and I moved around his bassinet the day he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes followed me the whole time.
Isn't that awesome?
I know. I was, ah!
And if
it was
you lean over, and you whisper in their ear and you say, do you remember? They'll grin at you, some of them will.
Aww.
You know, like, where did you come? Do you remember where you came from? They'll grin at you. And babies brand new don't grin at people.
No, I know. They are, don't usually interact like that.
No.
It's wonderful. So I've heard also that if we don't know who they are, then they don't, they're so sensitive and they're not treated with the recognition of what it is their capacity. What happens is that when they get into, do they get into autism as a result? Is that when the ADD gets worse? Or, you know what I'm saying?
They'll often get into disruptive behaviors. They will get sick, like I said. There's any number of things that, that might happen. You know, they're just, you know, the bottom line here, the truth is, we have to be more aware of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're all busy. We have careers, whatever. Or, you know, one parent homes or both parents work or whatever. We come in, we throw the kid a bone at night, and we don't really notice who they are, what they need, or how their day's been.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other, there are a lot of parents that don't fit that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are very caring and loving parents. But
it is a pretty hasty time for parents.
Yeah, it is. I mean, heck, time speed up. You know, it has sped up so much that we don't know how many hours there's supposed to be in a day anymore.
Well, what about food and stuff, too? Because I hear that they want to have junk food. Is that right?
Actually, that's not necessarily true. The worst thing you can do is give them sugar because they bounce off the walls like any other kid.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the crystalline kids, if you take them to the store, first of all, if you don't start giving them sugar, you know, if you take them to the store, what they're going to pick out is fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to like things like celery and peanut butter or apples and caramel dip or, you know, fresh nuts, different things like that. They really know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty amazing to watch them. The problem with the junk food is it's the parents feeding it to them because it's easy, it's cheap, and it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't taking the time to feed them right. And that truly adds to the hyperactivity.
I read some time back that indigo children will very often live on junk food.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do. Well, and the indigo kids, too, are often very hard on themselves. And they don't take care of their bodies. They, you know, they don't take care of a lot of their problems because they just get so out of sorts with society and the rules that don't really mean anything in real life. You know, the indigo kids are very sensitive to, I call them rules for power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just somebody's idea of how things should be. An indigo kid will buck that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
they're not
they
the same.
Like
the crystal kids are softer and kind of more of a balancing force. Eh?
Exactly.
Do they get along?
Do they get along?
With the indigos, the crystal?
In fact, a lot of the indigo kids are having crystalline babies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm starting to see a trend in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that fascinates me because they're like, what do I do with this kid? And I just laugh.
Well, I have a daughter who's an indigo, and my grandson's a crystal. So
you can relate. Yeah.
I can relate, yep. He's the one in the bassinet who watched me, and he was just hours old.
Oh.
Yeah. We're very close.
I bet you are.
But wanting to help raise these people, because I don't think I did a great job raising an indigo, meaning I didn't have the awareness of what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And people keep asking me about it, so it's not just what I've dealt with. It's many people do not know what on earth to do, you know.
That's right.
So, who are the beautiful silent ones?
Well, I have to tell you, I have a very soft spot in my heart for these guys.
Hmm.
Most of them are around 12 to 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have some sort of a physical disability,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't allow them, or they don't talk, and they are completely telepathic, and they're phenomenal. And you know what's really sad is if you were to look at these kids at a glance, they're the kids that everybody said, oh, look away. You know, our parents taught us it wasn't nice to stare and that kind of thing. But the truth is, they are such beautiful beings. that people, I mean, a lot of people have spontaneous healings around them.
Mm.
They, one little girl, Lauren, who's in the Children of Now, I've lost track of how many people quit smoking just from being around her that didn't even mean to.
Mm.
They just stopped.
Are they usually in wheelchairs and...
Yes, often in wheelchairs, often can't move or even, you know, turn their head to look at you. But that varies. Some of them are ambulatory, you know, and look normal,
mm-hmm.
but they have Weston, who's in the Conversations, who's one of the stars in my life. He's such a character.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fine, but he had a great big cyst in his head when he was smaller. That caused him to have some physical problems.
Hmm.
He's come a long way,
hmm.
But he still doesn't speak. And he is so gifted. Now, I have to tell you that we lived 3,000 miles apart when I wrote all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Weston would jump in my head and change my entire reality to the point where I was seeing what he wanted me to see. And it was quite amazing.
Wow.
But it was very disruptive to my day to the point where, if you can imagine, I had to lay down the law and say, look, you know, this is awesome, but you can't do this. I have a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to start teaching him to be polite,
telepathically,
imagine.
Oh, wow.
And you know, and I started wondering if I was losing it. And then I found out that he does this with other people, and I actually have gotten to talk with several of them now. We didn't know each other,
mm-hmm.
and we've corroborated each other's stories. It's just mind-blowing what this kid does. Well, there are a lot of them like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I call them the beautiful silent ones. I met a nurse who actually brought my awareness to this whole aspect of the kids is I met a nurse several years back who would get telepathic messages. They'd get in the car, and so she'd get in the car and she'd drive and not know where she was going, and she would pull up in front of a home and knock on the door and say, is there a child here? And without fail, there was a profoundly disabled child in the home and usually about to be institutionalized.
Hmm.
And she would talk them into letting her work with the child.
Oh,
and was able to kind of rescue some of them, but it's bizarre.
That's a wonderful bizarre, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very real. I've got a whole bunch of them
wow.
that talk to me and wake me up at night.
Wow.
We've kind of found a balance with some of it. There, when I first discovered it, I was so excited. I just let them come in anytime they wanted.
Hmm.
And I've soon found with as many of them as I was meeting that, and they found me. They had their parents or caregivers get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look for them.
Now, when did all this start with you?
It's been with the kids, the telepathic stuff, about 4 years ago.
Hmm.
And it's all in the Children of Now, the whole story. It was just mind-blowing.
Hmm.
And I was working on another book about the healing work that I do, which I've never gotten done. And
sounds like you're too busy.
Yeah, well, the kids made me do other stuff. And I was going to do a conference that I do every year, and they wanted me to tell them write them a little thing about what I was going to talk about. And I got done with my email, and I kind of sat back, and I thought, wonder what I'm going to do this year, because I'm kind of tired of the same old talks,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I heard Speak of the Children. I have this amazing set of guides, Speak of the Children. And I said, oh, come on, guys, you know, I don't know enough about these kids. I'm no kid expert, you know, and Speak of the Children. Well, when they tell me for the third time whatever I'm doing, I drop it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go on with it. So I got up in front of this audience in Spokane, Washington, and it was a full house, standing room only, and I'm kind of shuffling my feet, and I said, well, and they paid to see me. I mean, this is hilarious. And I said, I have to tell you the truth. I've been commanded to be here. I have no idea what I'm about to say to you. So we're going to learn together. I totally did on faith. Well, what happened was, as I started to talk about what I was experiencing with the kids, I realized just how much I had experienced with them.
Hmm.
And the audience was real contributive. We had a great interactive couple of hours and ended up in the hall for another hour. And so it was a big wake-up call to me that, you know, that there was such a need for this.
Yeah, it's a really almost desperate. Yeah.
That's what I found. And in fact, I'm getting so many emails a day now, I can't keep up with it. I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I do my best to personally answer them all. But I had no idea how many people were reaching out with nowhere to go.
Right. Well, tell me just quickly, I want to ask you different types, star children and transitional children, and then get back to how we can participate with them in such a way
sure.
as to fuel the changing wave.
The star kids are pretty much, 14, 16 and under. But don't hold me to that. I mean, there are exceptions in with all of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a clear-cut age. It's a kind of a blending to an age. But the star kids are, they're very gifted. They're extremely intuitive. They're also natural healers. They know things. They're very science-oriented.
Mm.
They're here, and they'll tell you, I mean, they love to invent things. They love to read technical stuff. They really like to know how things work. They also have dreams that really bother them. A lot of them have a hard time at night. But a lot of them have dreams that are very similar to what people describe in abduction experiences.
Hmm.
The white room, falling back in the bed. There's a whole list of things that I don't really want to create ideas, so I don't want to really go through them all. But so the dreams, they often dream about flying more so than normal. All kids dream about flying, but theirs is very different. There are often other people flying with them. they tend to be real fragile as far, and they're a little not fragile physically so much, but in their emotions, because they have a tendency to be very, very intelligent, people push them for good grades and good performance the way they think, you know, the old paradigm kind of thing. And these kids have to do it their way.
Mm.
If they're given a more loose set of possibilities with how they can explore their intelligence, and if people give them the opportunities, these kids soar. But if not, they'll generally manifest headaches or belly aches. You know, they start showing psychosomatic symptomology because they're not happy.
Mm.
So once again, we need to pay more attention. A lot of the star kids' parents are starting to homeschool. A lot of the crystallines are too, their parents.
I think that makes incredible sense.
Yeah, and it's really cool because with the homeschools, a lot of areas, a lot of different areas all around the country anyway, are starting to create, like, so the homeschool kids go on camping trips or they do community things together or they go on field trips together. So they're getting the socialization,
mm-hmm.
which at first was one of my concerns because a lot of the kids weren't. And but I give a caution to that. If you really aren't a motivated, dedicated, detailed kind of person that can keep your kid on task with the homeschooling, don't go there.
Hmm.
You know, I've literally been to homes where there were well-meaning parents and the kids were watching movies all day.
Hmm.
And that doesn't help them.
But there are charter schools nowadays, too. Are there very many that would handle this type of child?
You know what? They're popping up all over.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And I've had a lot of people talk to me. My intention is to set up a network that people can communicate that will kind of run itself.
Hmm.
This is a lot bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get that. And so I'm working on getting connected in such a way that we can really put a good network together.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And what are transitional children?
Transitional kids are tough. They're mid to late teens usually, although there's some that are a little bit younger than that. And they're not indigos, they're not crystallines, and yet they have the deep feeling like the crystalline kids. And they don't have the emotional wherewithal, or frankly, the support system to really learn a good sense of self-worth. And often you'll see the transitional kids being taken to psychologists, psychiatrists, because they're different. Nobody knows what to do with them. And that's the normal thing to do. You take them for help. Well, what they need is not that. What they need is their self-esteem bolstered. They need, you know, they'll run over people. You know, they really will. They'll break the rules because that just proves to them that their self-worth is right where they thought it was. You know, anything to break the rules, drugs, alcohol. Problem is a lot of these kids are committing suicide.
Oh.
Or they're getting cosmically sick and dropping dead. I had one of the kids in The Children of Now did that after the book came out. She got very, very sick and died very, very fast because she just couldn't do it anymore. And they're also the kids, some of them, not all of them, but some of the kids that are like the fellow that shot all the kids at the Virginia school.
Right.
I would say he was a transitional. As I listened to his story in the news, I was just disgusted that this kid went through so much and never got what he really needed. So what did he go through,
like abuse and family breaking or something?
One doctor after another, one treatment thing after another, medicated, you know. He had cultural issues too, but the point was that his story was so typical of it. Transitional kids get further and further alienated to a point where they don't know how to reconnect. And who's listening anyway? You know, and so that was, you know, kind of what I really thought happened with this fella. And a lot of them that are, you know, what they do is they create fantasy lives to empower themselves. You know, the kid of Virginia Tech sent pictures to the media.
Oh, wow.
That of himself in different positions with guns and knives and a hammer and all kinds of things. That was an extreme case. But these kids, the same thing that happened at Columbine and some of these other...
Were they transitional or...
I would say yes. They were earlier, or, you know, but that same kind of thing. The kids are developing fantasy lives because they're not feeling important. This world has gotten so diluted with the media and the fast pace that we were talking about, you know, the movies, the killing... Everything's killing everything.
Oh,
and that's becoming their fantasy world. And I call these transitional kids because they're not indigos. They're not crystallines. They're not necessarily star kids either. And so they're kind of like the lost kids, you know.
Oh.
They're just not getting what they need. And I know that the parents are trying. I've worked with several families whose children have killed themselves. After the fact, I didn't ever meet the kids. And then when I hear the story, same thing. You know,
it's just the inability to discover what, you know, what was meaningful to this person and how he could express himself. And
well, I won't say there's an inability. I think that they start with the ability, and I think they get further and further desensitized because what happens is they're labeled as something's wrong with them. Or they're taken and put on antidepressants, or they're put in the hospital, or, you know, everything that's being done for these kids is totally reinforcing the fact that they don't have a good self-esteem to start with. And the parents will tell you they're frustrated, they don't know what else to do, they've tried everything, and some of them have. But my contention is we have to start with them a lot younger. You know, you can't look at a kid and say, "Oh my God, this kid's a mess," and think you're going to fix them. We gotta work with them from the time they hit air, you know, and give them love, give them attention, reinforce their self-esteem. But the problem is the adults don't know how. And
well,
so
there's such
a
big jump from what we had experienced, right?
So what we need are adults that are healthier, you know, just emotionally and mentally healthier adults that have good life skills and are okay with their own, you know, with themselves and the lives they're creating if we want the kids to succeed. So I'm all for let's talk about life skills that adults can have so that they can, you know, really honor and teach these kids good things.
And actually to break the mold so we can accept that the kids need to express in very different ways than what we've been taught.
That's right.
So I want to jump back to orbs, because we know a little bit about orbs these days, but are they actually connected to the advancement of these kids and the consciousness that's coming through them?
Oh, they sure are.
Wonderful. I love that.
Orbs are actually projections of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the consciousness of a living being who's in a body now, or someone from the past, or even the ETs will communicate in orb form sometimes.
Hmm.
But the way that the context and what we're going to talk about is the kids. And what I found is that the children can literally project their consciousness in the form of orbs that will show up consistently, same color, same interior pattern, in photographs. And they'll actually stick those orbs in people's energy fields to get their attention. That's what that's how I discovered it.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I can actually see them.
I can too.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up one, the same weekend that I gave the talk, I woke up the morning, I was supposed to give the talk, and I felt really lopsided, like I couldn't stand up straight. I kept listing to the right, and I couldn't figure out. I was having a hard time actually getting dressed that morning. I'm real sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I stopped and kind of just closed my eyes and just kind of took an assessment of my energy field. And what I saw was that there was this beautiful, I think it was teal-colored orb that was stuck in my field. It was very strong. And I was like, I had to be in a hurry. I had to go give my talks, and I didn't really know what to think about it. I didn't bother. You know, it's just like, oh, well, now I know. I'll deal with it later. Well, by the end of the day, there were four of them, all different colors, all different interior patterns. And I was literally having to lean on things to stand up.
Wow.
And the energy was so intense. And what I realized was that, well, long story short, they started to talk to me. I started to hear telepathically communications. And one day I said, you know what, you guys, if you're for real, start showing up in 3D form, because I think I'm losing it. I'm very sensitive about not getting caught in the fantasies and the woo-woo stuff.
Right.
I know this sounds like that, but this is for real.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, they started. Weston's mom called for an appointment. She called, and she was giggling, and I had never met her. And she said, well, I have to tell you the truth. This appointment's for my son. And I started laughing. I said, great. I wonder if he's been talking to me. And she said, yeah, I wondered if you'd ask that, because he said he had been for a couple of months. And that was about how long it had been going on.
Wow, interesting.
So then Lauren showed up. I was at Celebrate Your Life in Scottsdale, and I was facing somebody's booth, and I heard, hi, I made it. And, you know, in my head, they talk in your head. And I turned around, and there she was. She kept me up all night. And one after one, they started showing up and being real people.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress this enough. I'm as sane as they come. And
but they just have that ability to communicate that way, or to show up consciousness-wise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think they came to me because I'm not afraid of different realities,
mm-hmm.
because my realities are weird anyway, because, you know, I just have all these different gifts that happen. But I think they knew that I wouldn't, you know, that I could really see them and hear them and know, and I wouldn't be afraid of it, and I would really hear it.
Hmm.
I finally decided somewhere along the line that was probably what was going on, because I didn't mind saying, oh, some kid's talking in my head.
Well, then you track it down. You get to know
them.
That's wonderful.
And they show up, so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh, how much more validation do I need?
I want to ask you, I want to ask you two things, one about yourself, but also on the notes that I've taken, that you have a list of solutions. I really like us to have some solutions for people who are trying to, besides your website, which is spiritlight.com. No.
Right there.
Spirit Light One? No.
SpiritLite.com. Spirit Light. Like L-I-T-E, light.
A wonderful website with so much information about Dr. Meg and all that she's doing and participating in. But I wanted to talk about you and how you got into that.
Into?
All of your work, your healing work and your UFOs and orbs, and you only have a few minutes for that, so that's hard, isn't it?
You know what? It just keeps creating itself. Here's the thing. The truth is there are two very, very powerful words that we can say in our life that will change our life completely. And I found them in the midst of an extremely powerful dark night of the soul where over about a two-week period, about 10 or 11 years ago, everything in my life that I thought was my identity and my foundation fell apart around me.
Okay.
And I got very humble and decided I was going to figure out what the heck I had done wrong. I couldn't blame everybody else. I was the one, you know, where everything was falling apart. So I really looked at that, and I kind of owned my stuff. And I said, okay, I get it. Whoever I am, whatever this is, I accept. I'm ready. And it was the I accept. Mm-hmm. I tell every class I teach and pretty much every lecture I ever give, those are the two words we need, but we need to mean it. You can't just say it from your head. You have to say it from your heart. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to accept who we are and to be who we are and step into our giftedness and use it and see what it's about, that's when the magic starts.
Mm-hmm.
When we stop thinking we need to be in control and we stop being afraid of what might happen if. You know, a lot of people blow off their giftedness because they're afraid of having that much power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is true power is gentle power.
Mm-hmm.
It's the power of the truth in the heart, and you can't make a mistake with it. You can be responsible with it. You can be, you know, whatever. But as long as we keep making choices, we're okay, you mm-hmm. know. But we have to choose. It's not going to come to us. We've got to live it.
What were you doing before that?
I was a real estate broker.
Oh, interesting. That's a bit of a jump.
Yeah, for 15 years. I had my own company.
Great.
And I was always intuitive. I was always, you know, kind of gifted in different ways, had experiences as a little kid, and people said, oh, no, that's not real.
Hmm.
And I stopped sharing.
Good, and then, but you kept it inside. Kept
I
it
did.
Going.
And then as I got back, I guess in my mid-20s, I really started to have more and more opening of myself and my gifts, and I started telling people again, and people were laughing behind my back. So I stopped telling again until I had the dark night of the soul, and it's like, I get it. I get it. So
laugh yeah, away, like, people. Here I come.
Well, no, it's about, you know, I don't know. It's more than that. It's because I never intended to take it into the world and do all of this. It has created itself so beautifully that all I do is step into it as it comes.
Excellent.
That's the truth.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
So, let's go back and
you want to know what to do to help the kids.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I think that we want to have. A list of how to make it easy thumbnail. The impossible, I suppose.
No, actually, I can give you some simple pointers. The first one is tell the kids the truth. When they ask you something, don't throw them a canned answer.
Okay.
They know the difference. And they really want to know. Second of all, but first of all, listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
What they are saying is real, it's valid, and they have some pretty good perspectives. And they have a lot to share with us. Thirdly, let them be who they are. Don't tell them it's not real if you don't see it. They see it. So consider the possibility that these kids are having real experiences. And communicate about it. Communicate with the kids. Listen to them. They don't do well with clutter. I call it visual and audio overload. They don't do good with clutter. They don't do good with a lot of chaos. Although they can function okay in it, they're getting fried pretty much. So smooth surfaces, calm environments, calm colors, natural things in the environment, like in the classroom. Get rid of all that crap you hang on the walls. Make a calm, quiet environment for these kids. Music's wonderful with them. explore music and stuff with them. They in the classroom or even at home, if they have a set, I call it the wheel approach. If they had like maybe five different things they could be doing at once, let them do it. Give them a framework. Okay, all these things have to be done by such and such a time. I don't care what you pick first. I don't care whether you go back and forth, as long as you do it. And a crystalline loves that. They love to multitask. They're very proud of themselves. Watch what we're giving them to eat. Of course, natural is better. Foods without drugs in them are awesome, but I know everybody's not in a position, you know, to shop specially like that. So just be aware of what the kids are eating and how they're eating, because they eat more often. To make them sit down and eat a big meal, lunch or dinner, it makes them feel bad. They are more like a bird. They eat often and less. And like I said, fruits, vegetables for snacks, things like that. If you start them out that way, that's their norm, and they don't need all that other junk. So, you know, basically it's about letting go of some of the conveniences for us and doing what they need. Gosh, I could go on. There's so many different things we could do. In The Children of Now, which is still out, it's in every bookstore, the one that preceded Conversations, which we've been talking about a little bit, I have in the back of the book a whole section on how to help, and I also listed in both of the books, there's a list in the back of books, videos, things to read, people to contact. I've done what I could in the, you know, to really provide as much as possible.
Wonderful. So, and are people listening, as far as you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being contacted by doctors and teachers and everybody in between. And
excellent.
I'm so excited, yeah.
So more and more people are paying attention to this wave of children.
That's it. And one of the things that we can do to the real highest and best for these kids is create the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm finding that the books are doing, which was my intention.
Excellent.
Create awareness. Don't be afraid to talk about it, you know, but don't use it as an excuse either.
Now tell me this. Do you think that some of us adults could have been these kinds of children?
Yes.
Okay.
Hands down, absolutely, I was.
Yeah.
And I've met a lot of other ones. I call us bridges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're bridges to what's going on now.
So we're kind of the scouts that came ahead.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that it's happening so fast now is so many of us, the adults, have stepped into it and said, it's okay. You know, it's okay if I'm different. It's okay if I'm, you know, if I can do this or whatever. And, I mean, I was joking. I'm in the middle of moving, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was joking with the movers. It was pouring rain, thundering, lightning. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to work on this weather. So, because we only have so much time, and sky turned blue, you know, and I said, well, does this work? And they were like laughing at me. And I wouldn't accept that. I said, you know what? We are that capable. And we had a little more, and they said, oh, there's a tornado watch in this county. And at 2:00, tornadoes are supposed to come down. I said, no, they're not. You know, it's whatever we believe it is. So we're very powerful beings.
We are very powerful, yeah.
Yeah, and our kids know that. These kids know that, and so are they. But we need to make sure that they know that it's okay that they're different, or it's okay that they know things or feel things.
Mm-hmm. More than okay, we want it.
Mm-hmm. We want it. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing that's vital with these little guys.
Okay.
As I said, they're sentient. And they feel everything. We need to teach them to discern what's theirs and what's other people's.
Okay. Like the empathetic problem.
Yeah, they're very empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't tell what other people's feelings are and what theirs are sometimes, because they don't know how to sort them out, separate them.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're that intuitive, you know you're an intuitive,
mm-hmm.
and you're picking up stuff from people all the time. Fortunately, you know, excuse me, you know, because you know how to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Little kids don't.
Well, I sometimes still struggle with it, especially if I go into a grade school. Isn't that interesting? So that always breaks my heart for these kids. I go, well, golly, you know, they go in there and it's really a soup, isn't it? Anyway, Dr. Meg, you have been absolutely fascinating. I've got notes all over the place here.
Oh, thank you.
And I love the book, and I should get the earlier book because I've really enjoyed this Conversations with Children of Now.
Oh, thanks.
And I recommend that people get it. And your website again is?
It's SpiritLight, SpiritLite.com.
And you also have a show on the Shirley MacLaine website.
Oh, you're good. I was just thinking that. Thanks.
Yeah.
My show is on the first and third Wednesday of every month, except for this week because I'm moving. I'm doing it next week on ShirleyMacLaine.com. And I'll soon have also archives up on my website. But the first and third Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 Eastern p.m. It's called Continuum.
Excellent.
And we talk about everything, just like you do. It's fun.
Great. Well, I thank you so much for breaking your move and having just this, I hope it was a breath of fresh air for you. It was for me.
Are you kidding? I need a timeout from all the moving.
Well, we just lifted a lot of thoughts around. That was pretty good.
I really appreciate you having me on. It's great talking with you.
It's wonderful talking to you. So many blessings.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Wow, that was wonderful. Dr. Meg Blackburn on the latest children, The Children of Now, and I really recommend her books. I haven't read the first one, but I've read the second one. They're just really something. Children of Now and Conversations with Children of Now. And this is Veronica Entwistle. That was our paradigm shifter for this week, telling us all about the paradigm shifters in these little children as well. Isn't it exciting? There's this wave of change coming through humanity. And next week's Paradigm Shifter is going to be John Gray talking about Mars and Venus, men and women, and the hormonal things that he's done a lot of research, apparently, on hormonal changes in people because of stress and because of aging and how it impacts relationships and so on. I know it isn't just about aging, but there's something about that in there. And a lot of his research is really amazing. I haven't got his book yet, so I'm not being as specific as I'd like to be. But if you tune in next Tuesday at 5 o'clock West Coast time for Paradigm Shifters, I'm sure you'll really enjoy John Gray. And this is Veronica Entwistle. I will be on Jackie's show at ET Healing. We're talking more about the shadow. Last week was about resistance and how that comes up in our lives. And I don't know what she's talking about this week, but all of these deep automatic responses that we talked about during Radiance today are really embedded in the shadow to a degree. And as my guides were saying, some of them are a part of the soul journey. And we're working with releasing those on ET Healing at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights on wonderful BBS Radio. And I will be back on with you in Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 p.m. West Coast time. And I don't know how many of you have crystal children, indigo children. It's been a really fascinating study for a lot of people. And I think a lot of us who are in the intuitive world have felt like indigo children or crystal children. I know I really have. And when she was talking about star children, I think of Bob, my wonderful partner who's sitting here. And I'm sure that he is in one of those. As Dr. Meg says, she doesn't really like to hold people into categories. But when you have those streaks of knowing that have always come through you where you've been before and your interaction with multidimensionality and UFOs and so on, the chances are pretty good that we're dubbed a part of these new children ourselves, even though some of us are older. I also was really interested in the ADD and ADHD conversation because I found in my own brain that I had ADD, and I did not know that until I'd been taking glyconutrients for a while, stopped taking them, and my brain went back to an anxiety level that it had before, and I hadn't recognized the change away from it because it was gradual. And so when I say this thing about ADD and ADHD, I'm not sure if there isn't brain pattern stuff that can probably be eased in these kids. And I didn't get around to asking Dr. Meg, but I'm certainly going to learn a bit more about that. And I also love the link between those wonderful orbs and the fact that these children, and probably other intuitives as well, can project their consciousness in these beautiful forms in order to attract interaction with other people. How amazing. Oh, one more thing she talked about was DNA relationships to the brain, how DNA and the brain are working differently. So that's stuff that we have to look into, and maybe we'll get Dr. Meg to come back and explain more of it to us. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm saying goodbye, and thank you so much for listening, and many blessings to all of you. Much love, and may we pass it on.
Called the